Dis weer ons draaipunt program, vrijdag aand 9 uur, en onthou dat ons herhaling op sondag om 5:30. Nou, vandagse gas, baie speciaal, een besonderse story van een pad van rouw wat een gezin gestap het, en die Heere wat rarig waar kom, versoen het en kom genees het. Now, with me on the line this morning is Ryan Callis. Ryan, where did your story start?
My wife and I were expecting the birth of our third child. We had two daughters already, aged 4 and 7. And once you've been through, you know, a couple of births, you just assume and expect that everything is going to go as per normal. And there were complications during the labor. All the scans prior to that were completely clear, 100%, everything was fine. And then the complications came in during labor with heart rates and couldn't find consistent heartbeats and all these things. And eventually he was born, my son, but he came out very blue. So he'd obviously been struggling for oxygen and that. And the next 27 hours was an emotional roller coaster that I certainly don't wish on anybody. They were not able to stabilize him. The one lung collapsed, and they had to fly him by helicopter to Panorama. He's just got a very good pediatric ICU unit. And yeah, that evening, as I say, 27 hours later, I was asked to come to the hospital. And when I arrived, my wife was holding his body, basically, because he passed away. Yeah, and so started the journey that is quite difficult to explain, obviously, if you haven't lost a child. You know, it's something that, and I must emphasize this, from a male perspective, we are brought up, especially in my generation, to suppress your emotions and your feelings and to kind of get on with life. So, because I had my daughters and obviously my wife back then, I had to be strong, go back to work and, you know, continue with life. But then I kind of put my grieving process aside, actually, for many, many, many years, which is not a good thing to do, because later on it'll start coming up, you know. And for me specifically, came up as anger, which was directed towards the world, and specifically, strangely enough, against the pediatrician. I started questioning why he didn't do certain things, but I mean, I had no knowledge in that field, of course. So also anger with God, which is also very normal in those, you know, grieving processes where you question, where was God? You know, was he even there? You know, you just completely emotionally, yeah, you suddenly have your doubts, you know, on everything that you know about your faith and that. But for me, what was amazing, the first thing that for me was incredible was, it was probably 2 days later after that we were back home, and I came around the corner and my four-year-old daughter was speaking to her older sister, and they didn't see me. I was just standing just around the doorway, and she said to her, "If we pray hard enough, maybe God will give us another brother."
Wow.
You know, sure. And then it sort of sank in for me, the absolute innocent belief and trust and, you know, resilience of a child and belief in what God can do. And that really touched me. And then to fast track, about 5 years later, they got a brother.
Wow.
You know, healthy boy who's
amazing.
Absolute ray of sunshine all our lives, you know. So that was quite something for a four-year-old to speak that confidently to her older sister, you know.
Ryan, where do you feel was the turning point for you, for meeting God in the midst of your pain and your bitterness?
You know, you play the events over in your mind more times than you ever want to. The more I played it over the years, the more it became evident that he never left us. You know, he was constantly by my side. And, you know, when I think how much he must have been grieving and how sad, you know, he must have been, then I look at all the events and I look at where he did intervene and where he was involved. And, you know, it's unmistakably, One can never question why these things happen. You know, there are no definitive answers, but he was certainly there. I mean, a small example, As I said, I was angry with the pediatrician that, and this is extreme, but I was planning to go and talk to him and have a real confrontation. And I felt like that for literally a year. Mm. And I built up the courage to go and see him. And the moment I walked into his consulting rooms and I looked at him, it looked to me like he'd aged 10 years. Sure. And in that split second, I felt deep sympathy for him, because I'd come there with this rage and this anger and his intentions to confront this poor man. Mm. But there is no person on this earth that would not do everything in their power to help a child, you know? Mm. So that could have gone wrong, but that was a big point for me, you know, where I realized it's not about someone to blame.
Wow. Ryan, thank you so much for just sharing your heart today. You know, there's people out there who's battling with grief and that might be feeling the same emotions that you've worked through over these years. How do you want to encourage them?
It's difficult, you know, for me to look back and to, I would have needed the encouragement back then. But I would suggest support groups. There are support groups out there. I'm not here to advertise the names of these things, but it's good to... There are clubs, let's put it in inverted commas, which you don't want to belong to, of course, but there are groups to support you of bereaved parents. That does help. Not for everybody, but it certainly helps. What I found was difficult was, from a male perspective, everybody who came to our home, everyone who brought us food, came to support us, naturally focused all their sympathy on my wife. Mm. And I know, I remember the event, there was one person that actually turned and asked me how I'm doing. Wow. And I think that's the way society is. And I think from a male perspective, we need to reach out to each other. Mm. You know, men don't talk, generally speaking. I noticed that the younger generation are becoming more in tune with their emotions than what we were. Mm. But I think from a male perspective, it's okay to talk. You know, for many years now, I've actually had a strong conviction to address a room full of men who have lost children.
Yeah.
And just tell them it's okay to cry and, you know, it's okay to reach out. I mean, I think I cried twice in the 6 months after my son passed away. And both times I cried in the shower. So that no one could see me, you know, because it's a perceived weakness. So for me, I mean, if there are any men that are going through this or have gone through this, I would even go so far as to say I would love them to reach out to me, even on a WhatsApp, and for me to chat to them, because it is an extremely difficult journey, but there's hope. It's not the end of the road, let's put it that way, because you feel like you're carrying this alone. Very much alone, because you've got to be strong for your family, but there's no one really there supporting you.
Ryan, thank you so much for just sharing your heart and just being real and vulnerable about this. And we praise the Lord for the healing that He has brought forth and just the restoration of your story. As jy behoefte het om kontak te maak met Ryan en jy is sulke pappa of 'n man wat self deur 'n rouproses gaan en jy het nodig om met iemand te praat, as jy baie welkom, stuur 'n WhatsApp na 0844104104 en ons sal jou in kontak bring met Ryan. Onthou, as jy lewensveranderende storie het waar die Here 'n draaipunt in jou lewe gebring het, stuur 'n WhatsApp 0844104104 met die woorde draaipunt en ek kontak vir jou.